Yo, 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 what's good, East Bear in the building? Thank you for tuning in today on Queen Talk. Today's special guest has been awarded with many of crowns. Miss Gay Wichita, Miss Gay Wichita Pride, and Kansas All-American Goddess. Please welcome Justice Thomas, a.k.a. Amani Couture.
Hello, everybody. I am Justice, a.k.a. Imani K.O. Couture.
Yes, you stay with the crown though. Are you good?
I try to. The pandemic slowed me down a little bit, but we're gonna kick the ignition back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, it's next year.
That's when I first met you, is when I seen you on stage and I was like, oh, I gotta get to know this person. Like, who is this? Because I've been to a few drag shows, but I haven't been in awe like that at a drag show. Like, okay, yes, for sure. Like, you know, if you are out and you want to see a drag show, make sure they're on the lineup for sure. Besides your name, you want to go ahead and give the audience a little bit of an introduction of yourself?
Yeah, of course. Look, as I said, my name is Imani K.O. Couture. I was born and raised here in Wichita, Kansas. I am 26 years old, African-American, and I identify as queer, non-binary, gay, I fall under many categories under the umbrella. You gotta catch me on the right day of the week to figure out which one.
Okay. And what are your pronouns?
They, them.
They, them.
Very fluid.
Okay, nice. So, you said, I haven't heard that introduction of catch me on the day of the week before.
Yeah. I'm very fluid in all aspects of my life. People are very overwhelmed when they see that I am very flamboyant, and then they also come out and figure out that I have a 9-year-old daughter, and they're like, wait, where did that happen? So it's just like, yeah, catch me on the right day of the week and you'll get the right answer.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't even know you had a daughter either. There's so much we gotta talk about.
Yes.
So much. So you were born and raised here in Wichita?
Born and raised here in Wichita, Kansas.
What school did you go to?
So for elementary, I started in Colvin, I went to Kelly Elementary, and then on to Allison Middle School all 3 years, and then high school, I was at Wichita North High School all 4 years.
Okay. So when did you start experiencing these umbrellas of your sexuality?
So I'd like to think that it started off like in middle school, like secretly waiting until my parents went to bed to like play in my grandma's makeup and her wigs and stuff. Like,
okay.
I have so many stories about that. And then I didn't necessarily like start exploring, like, first it was like I just love women, I've always been into fashion, and so like beauty has been a big part of my life, but then the men came later on, and like as I grew up and went into high school.
With when you were playing with the hair and hiding your stuff,
yes.
From your grandma's, what age were you at?
I cannot have been older than 13, so about 12, 13 is when I was experimenting.
So before that, was there any tell signs that...
I mean, I've always been into fashion. Like, I've been drawing fashion illustrations since I was in third grade, so I think that was, like, the first tell, other than wanting to be a cheerleader and wanting to dance and be the center of attention. Like, that was the first tell.
Were you able to express your fashion at a young age? So when you at 13, is when you said, like, is that when you were really experiencing that fashion? Like,
yeah.
Different? Were you able to express that?
I think I'm a lot more fabulous now than I was at 13. And that's because I get to pick out my clothes and not my parents. Sorry, Mom. I didn't get to express that, like, very early on. Like, I remember the drawings, and the drawings were very secretive. Like, I would show, like, certain family members, like my grandma, and she would love them. But then certain family members, they just didn't understand it. And so, like, that wasn't able to translate off of the paper into my closet until I was old enough to start buying clothes that I wanted to wear.
And what was that? What age was that?
I believe I started working at Spangles. Was my very first job.
Okay.
When I was...
Shout out to that fast food. I'm a Taco Bell.
Sophomore year in high school is when I started, probably.
Okay. And were you able to wear your clothing in high school and stuff?
Oh, yes. And then always manipulating it as well, and doing the old switcheroo, going to school in one thing and then coming to home in another thing so that they don't get the attention.
So at home, you were not comfortable with them?
No, it wasn't not a very big thing. And I don't think it was a fear thing. It was just more so of I don't want to bring shame kind of thing. Like, where you don't know how they're going to take it if you're just full on. But then also, I didn't understand what it meant. So it was a very new thing for me to show to everyone else when I hadn't figured it out.
What made you think that it wasn't okay? Like, what, were you just trying to wear more feminine stuff? Is that what it was, or?
I remember earlier on, like, the more feminine sides of my personality, like, my parents, like, kind of, like, reprimanded and were very, like, no, you don't do that, and boys do this, and girls do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you grow older, you kind of, like, art. Like, it's like, oh, they see that as more of a feminine thing, so
mm-hmm.
this drawing that I just made, I might think it's fabulous, but I'm not going to run upstairs to go show them because they might not be so proud of it. And having had that happen to me in the past, it's not something that you want to repeat.
Right. So there was a time in the past that you did
yes.
wear the outfit at your house, and what was that reaction?
So it's, those reactions were, they weren't like big flagrant bits of rage, but it was more so of a, like a, you could see like the confusion and the, I want to say almost kind of, a little bit of shame, like, because you don't, like, at an early age, like, you're just excited. And, like, you want everybody to be just as excited as you are. And then when they're not, and, like, you see the faces fall, you're just like, oh, what did I do?
Right.
So it's kind of one of those things, and you just don't want to really relive that.
Yeah. So when you went to school in high school, you're 26. So that's, what years did you go through high school?
I believe I was in high school from 2011 through 2015.
Okay, so what was that like for you wearing your fashion
in high school? So, like, it was a weird experience for me, because you remember I have a child. So, like, my freshman and sophomore years, I was more, I'm going to experiment and do all of these different things. Like, I would wear colored, like, white t-shirts that just had plain splattered all of them. I was really into plaid and ripped jeans and all of these grunge materials. And no one really said anything because it's high school and everybody's kind of, you know, in their own crowd. And then I started dating in high school. And that's when I put that part of myself, like, back in the closet and, like, toned myself down in order to appease the relationship.
Alright, so you don't feel like you got bullied or anything in high school for wearing did you wear more feminine stuff? I know you said, like, more grungy, plaid, splatter, but, like,
that's the thing. For me, clothing don't necessarily have a gender. So, like, it wasn't, like, masculine, feminine, but, like, it was something that people don't necessarily wear. I mean, I guess you could say it was feminine because it's something that people would gawk at me for, but I never really was bullied. Like, people would make comments, but it was never, like, directly towards me or
uh-huh.
at me, because I always, you know, just fight me. Like, so, so it was never one of those things. I never got, like, beat up or picked on, but there was always, you know, like, there's that gay kid. But also, I was kind of in everything, so
okay.
no one really had anything to say.
So you were, like, athletic and
band? I was on the cheer team, and I was in drama, so I was always in a play, or I was always at a game, so you could catch me backflipping down the sideline or on the court during halftime, or you could see me in the play. So it was, he's everywhere and I know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and at North High, the administrators were very big on, you know, just watching everyone and getting to know everyone and making sure that it was safe.
That's
so
good.
I think we even had a GSA club, Gay Straight Alliance, so that was
oh,
really
okay.
nice as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really cool too. We were very, I think, kind of current about that. I enjoy that now that I think about
yeah,
that.
For sure. I don't recall having that. I'm a little older than you, but I don't recall having a GSA
yeah.
club. I didn't even know what it was until, like, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good that it was already, like, in your school and you got to experience that. Do you feel like you noticed more people that represented the gay community in your school, like, growing up? Or do you feel like you were the only one?
It's because I don't definitely don't feel like I was the only one, because there were people even in my class frame that I look up to. There's a drag queen that I went to high school with. Her name is Harmony Knight, and she's gone on to compete and win fabulous titles. She lives in Oklahoma now, but she's somebody that I looked up to, and we were in drama, and she was on the dance team. And then there was also the person that got me into drag, who was on the wrestling team, mind you. His name is Alonzo Samuelton, and he used to go by Naomi Winters and got me into drag. So there were a few of us, there were a lot more of us that were not out, but there were a few of us that were very open, and that's what really, you know, pushed me.
Nice. So what age did you express yourself to your family?
So I remember in middle school, I talked to my mom and I talked to her about being bisexual, because I had a best friend, and she's a lesbian, and we're just like, we want to tell them so that they know, like, we were just tired of, like, not talking about it.
Yeah.
So I told my mom, and she, at the time, it was, like, one of those kind of scare tactic things, like, just, like, talking about, like, how it's a dangerous lifestyle and how I could catch something, and it's a lot more pain than it's worth kind of thing. And at that time, you know, you're just, like, in middle school, like, I think Justin Bieber's cute. I don't want to sleep with him. Like,
yeah.
At that age, it's like, more than anything, it's like, I just like fashion, and I know that I like boys, and I talk about boys with my friends, and I want you to know that kind of thing. For instance, Mom, I'm into Twilight. Like, I have a Twilight poster on my wall that you bought for me. That you don't think something, like, I'm trying to tell you here. And so, like, that conversation didn't go how I planned. So I just kind of bottled the energy back up. We didn't tell my dad. And I didn't actually officially come out until after I graduated high school, and I had moved out, so it was in the process of moving out, so that was, I think it made it easier for me.
And did you just retell your mom again, or when you moved out, like, what was that story like?
I remember, I started doing drag. Like, first thing was, I started dating a boy, and
at
of
what
course,
age?
That was 18. So, of course, my mom knows about it, and my dad knows about it because they've seen it on Facebook. Like, I'm going out. I remember my dad had taken me one time to go and, like, meet him up, like, for our first date, like, when we went fishing and whatnot. And he saw us hug. So I never really, like actually said anything. I just had this air about me, like, I'm 18 and I'm going to do this now.
Yeah.
Like, I already had the child and we broke up, and it is what it is, so I'm gonna go off and do my own thing. And then after that, it was, hey dad, can you take me to go and get my nails done? Or I have a show this evening. And I do remember this one time, like, when my grandmother found out I was dating men, she's like, okay, so you're gay. She goes, that's fine, just don't want you dressing up like a woman. And then I have a show like this next week, but I'm not gonna tell you about it. And she's like my biggest fan now.
Yeah,
she loves it. But I remember early on, she was just like, I just don't want that to happen. And I was like, it's coming. Just started to tell you.
My grandma holds a soft spot in my heart, too. Like, when my coming out story, that was the one I was worried about, was my grandma. So
right.
I definitely feel you on them.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just not going to tell you.
So you said you had your kid before 18. So when did you?
I was 17 when she was born, July 31st of 2014. The summer before going into my senior year.
Okay. Do you feel like it was harder to tell your family that you were having a child or that you were gay?
It's crazy. I feel like it was a lot easier to tell my family that I was having a kid. Because when I went and found out that I was having a kid, I remember I told my mom, and then me and my mom made an agreement for me to tell my dad, but make my dad not think that I had told my mom first and he was going to break news to her. And of course, I saved my grandma for last. but it was a lot easier to tell them, and I think I felt that way because it's like, I'm having a kid, which means I'm having sex with a woman, which means I'm straight. So nothing to worry about there.
So you're the mother of your child. Mm-hmm. How was that coming out, like, with that relationship?
So, like, all throughout our relationship, because, of course, like, freshman and sophomore year. Like, I was very open about who I was. So, okay. I'd already had people know, like, oh, he likes boys and he likes girls. Like, he's a really cool person. And so, she started going to my school, like, I think the end of my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And we had friends in common. But, of course, like, I would deny anything, like, that they told her because I liked her. And so, like, I didn't really express, like, liking men or anything, like, all that, like, throughout our relationship. Don't get me wrong, like, I was still a cheerleader and very into choreography and very into fashion, and she knew that. But I didn't really express anything until after mm-hmm. my daughter was born, and, yeah, then it just kind of all came out. And the situation was kind of tepid for a while, but, like, there was drama, and I think the drama was just surrounded with a whole bit of confusion, just because I think at first she thought that I wanted to be a woman and therefore was wanting to replace her as a mother, and it's, like, just never been my cup of tea to be a woman. It's just, I enjoy the freedom to be feminine or be masculine,
right.
And that's not ever going to affect my condition of parent, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Getting so, do you feel like right now you guys are, like, at a good spot, like, she understands it now, and
yeah.
that you aren't trying to be the mother?
Very much so. So, like, even this last weekend, where I had my daughter, like, I usually pick her up on a Friday, and I was explaining to her that I have a show, on this Saturday, and, she's like, do you want me to ask her, like, if she wants to be picked up tonight or tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And she texted me back, and she's like, yeah, she just wants to be picked up tonight. So, like, we talk about, like, the fact that I do shows.
Okay.
I can come to the house to pick up my daughter, and I have on face, like, to go to a show or after I get off of a show, and it's not a problem. I'm very lucky to have that.
Yeah. And has your daughter seen you in full drag?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
She's been to shows before, and
that's
she
awesome.
Is very partial to my drag. But she loves it. She loves it. We watch her Paul's Drag Race. She's very accepting, very
okay.
accepting.
So how old is your daughter right now?
Nine.
So there's a lot of conversation right now about, like, what the child should know and what they shouldn't know.
Yes.
With you, what are their boundaries? Like, does she know everything? Does she know, like, obviously you have a partner, so she's kind of like, is there any secrets that you keep from your daughter right now?
So I don't keep secrets from her, but also, I don't know if it's her age and she's just not curious about those things yet. Like, obviously, you know, she knows that my boyfriend, Bridger, is my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees us hold hands, and she's, like, I think in my earlier relationship and, like, the past, she would say things like, well, boys don't kiss boys. And that was when she was, like, very young.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing when she would say that pink is a girl's color and blue is a boy's color.
Mm-hmm.
Just explaining to her that just because certain people feel like things have to be a certain way doesn't mean that they do.
Right.
In regards to colors and sexuality and partners and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But she's never expressed any discomfort or confusions. But she'll ask me about, like, my makeup and things like that, and she's like, so do you shave when you do makeup? Like, that confuses her.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand, because I don't, like, shave if I don't have to.
Yeah.
And so she's like, what happens? And I'm like, I shave. And she goes, okay. But then it comes back, and I'm like, yeah, it just comes back. And she goes, it's fast. And so we talk about those things, but I try not to keep any secrets from her or boundaries, and I think I will continue to do that as she gets older, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, of course, there are still some things that I probably won't, like, just present to her because I don't think that she's ready to comprehend it.
Yeah. So did you and your past, the mother of your child, did you guys have that conversation of, is she worried about, like, what's also going on with me? Like, what's her take, do you think, on it? Like, kids and knowing about the LGBT community and wanting it to be known, like.
We actually haven't had, like, a conversation, like, in depth in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's specifically because there's no choice, because
right.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And we both know situations where the father has chosen to actively not be there. So me just wanting to be there is really big in itself. And to take that away from her would be a disservice. And I think we both understand that I need to be here for her, and it doesn't matter about like what I am or anything like that. I think that's a great question, as far as being an LGBT person and what she should and should not see. Because all of my friends are LGBT.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
She sees all aspects or ranges of anything like that. And her mom's never expressed like discomfort when she like comes to pick her up, and there have been family. Like, I have siblings that are LGBT. So I don't think that there's really any choice. You don't have
that,
a choice.
Yeah. That's good. The whole it being banned from schools and stuff like that, like, I don't agree with at all. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, I didn't learn anything in school, like, especially like health wise and stuff like that, like protection wise,
right.
None of that was being told, and that doesn't need to be sold at elementary, but I did learn that in middle school. Like, I watched a video of a baby coming out of a vagina in middle school,
right.
So like, I feel like we could have conversations.
We learned about puberty in elementary, like, very much, like, the diagrams, and of course, they split the boys and the girls up, but then, like, after the boys are showing the girls their diagrams, so, like, right after, it was very early.
And did you had GSA in high school, but did you learn about any of that in the LGBTQ community in your school?
My mom had friends,
mm-hmm.
and there were always friends that I think I paid more attention to because gay people are just fabulous. I love the LGBT community. But I never felt comfortable enough like asking like why this person was like that or anything like that. And then I think as time grew up, like as time went on and I grew up, once I was comfortable to ask my mom about these people, they were just every other person. So it wasn't like a, why is that person like that?
Yeah, so your mom growing up, like, she had friends with?
Yes.
Okay.
My mom's best friend, childhood best friend, is a drag queen that I perform with to this day. Erotica, or Jada, is a trans woman, and my mom grew up, and she said she taught me how to ride a bike, and they used to bathe together, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, do you felt like it was easier then to, like, express yourself to your family because that was not it wasn't new to them?
I feel like it was a lot easier for them to accept because they know and love people who are members of the LGBTQ community. And I also feel like it was harder to tell them for that specific reason because they know these people and they know the struggles that these people go through and what they experience, and they didn't want to see their child go through that.
And I've heard a lot about your mom's perspective. What was your dad openly took you to these shows and get your nails done and stuff like that. Like, was there a relationship change or it was?
I think when I was growing up, my dad was very man of the house, aggressive and kind of scary. Like on one point, like, you know, like everybody's afraid of their dad.
Yeah.
And so I think as we grew up and we were able to communicate these feelings and talk about these stories, he kind of took that in. And then after that, like at that point, there's nothing that we could have done that would have made him step back into that role to make his child fear him. And because of that fact, my dad has never, ever, my dad's told friends off because they've said odd words or I'm sorry about this. And it's not something that he does for my benefit. I don't even have to be in the room. I don't have to be around. Like I said, I moved out. And it's very lovely.
Yeah,
my dad loves
awesome.
Me from the bottom of his heart, and I never deny that.
Yes, that's good. Not everybody gets that experience, especially from a father.
Yes.
So that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my mom was just a little bit harder, but I think that's just because moms and boys. Like, my mom didn't want me to be on the cheer team. My dad did. Like, he was just very happy about, like, everything and anything that did. It's like, that's my boy.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good. Now, we've been talking about drag, and you said, when did you get introduced to drag? You said, like, your mom had friends,
mm-hmm.
so did you get introduced at a young age, or?
They would talk about going to fantasy. And okay. I want to hear about that. And I thought it was interesting, but I never knew what it was. I just knew that it was a gay bar.
Okay.
But I never knew about drag or anything like that. I didn't learn about drag until I remember one day I was going like from the laundry room to one room, and RuPaul's Drag Race was on TV. And I believe it was like season 6, and I was just watching, it was a lip sync, and I was like, this is amazing, but I shouldn't be watching this. And so like I turned the channel because I heard someone coming. And then the next time that I experienced drag wasn't until after I had graduated. And I remember I asked my daughter's mom to like watch her so that I could go out with my friend Alonzo, Naomi. And we went to Club Boomerang while it was still open, and that's where I saw Brown Sugar and Mackenzie Carmichael and Dynasty and Candice Michelle and Aurora and Coco, and just saw like drag. And I was just mesmerized. I was taken in, and after that I think I was performing like the next month.
Nice. So 18, you jumped right into it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Brown Sugar, I need to get them on this podcast as well. So was it the community like welcoming? Like, what does it take to be a drag queen? Like, I feel like there's so much that goes into it. Like, one day you're looking like this, and the next day, the next minute, it's like, okay.
Nowadays, you just need YouTube. I had YouTube back when I started, but I wasn't using it the way that I probably should have been using it. Using it to download music terribly and giving myself tons of viruses on my mom's laptop. Sorry again, mom. But I think it takes just the confidence. The community was, there were people who were very welcoming, and then of course there were people who made it hard or felt like they made it hard. And really they're just giving you the real, like just talking about how hard this can be, and it's not as easy as it looks. I think it just really took getting in with the right people and having the right advice behind me.
Now, what is like the behind the scenes to get to look the part? Look the part, like the tuck and all, like what's the process of all of it?
Oh, yeah. So we could be here all day. Yeah. No, from start to finish, it takes me personally, I like about good 3 to 4 hours on a good day, 5 to 6, just if I'm really just in like the zone. But I say 3 to 4 hours just because I start by showering, of course, shaving everything, armpits, glory trail, face, just making sure like anywhere that there's going to be skin showing that there's not a hairy man coming through.
Yeah.
And then after that, like washing my face, so I have like a fresh canvas and all of that, making sure my skin is nice and shiny. And then sitting in front of the mirror and figuring out what color I want to go with. I always start with my eyebrows. I don't have eyebrows, so it makes it like really easy to just draw them on and then do my eye makeup and then go in with my base. And then after that, I go into body tucking, and I think I wear about like...
How do you do that? I know.
There are people who use tape.
Okay.
And there are so many methods.
Okay.
Me personally, I wear padding, and so like it makes it a lot easier for me to do it because I wear like I think 3 different layers of spandex and then about 5 or 6 different pairs of tights.
Okay.
So like I'm always just
pull
boys in the balls back. And tuck, like just pulling up like really tight, and then like going over with spandex, another layer of spandex, and then pads, and then I'm ready to go. Like if I, the first few steps after, if it hurts, I'm like, okay, this is good, this is gonna hold.
Oh
my
gosh.
I just gotta get through the pain and we're good to go. It'll be uncomfortable at first, but eventually it goes numb and you're fine.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Very much so. I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but everybody's blessed a different life. So,
yes. Oh my gosh. And so with picking out what's your go-to, like, oh, this is why I'm going to do this song, this is why I'm going to perform this way?
My emotions.
Yeah.
If someone's done something to me, 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna be performing Beyonce. And that's just straight out of the gate, because you can't tell me anything if I'm performing Beyonce. Now, if my feelings are hurt, I'm gonna go for a ballad. That's when you'll catch me, like, in a dress, and it's just like, yeah, I don't want to do too much. Like, so, yeah, and then if I'm just, like, really, like, tipsy, or, like, feeling like, God, like, this has been, like, a good, like, week or anything like that, I'm feeling in a good mood, like, I love to dance, so anything that I can just dance to, and just know that I'm gonna have a good time.
I didn't know that. I'll keep that in mind when I watch. Oh, they're in their feelings. So happy.
Yeah. Something's going on.
So do you enjoy the drag? The drag and all that? Like, this is a lifetime thing?
Or? I don't think that I'd be able to live without it, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, even if I'm not performing, like, on a stage, there are so many things that go into doing drag. Like, even just the look. Mm-hmm. And, like, that, I feel like, could get me by, like, till my dying day. But I don't think that I could ever give up even performing, because I just love the feeling of it. I remember just wanting to do this exact thing and feeling like, wow, I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be able to perform for a crowd of people and, like, get their admiration and get their joy. Because I'm doing something that I love and I'm sharing my art and my passion with them. I'm never gonna get that. Like, after high school, that's what it felt like. Cause I was on the cheer team and I was in the hip hop dance club and I was in drama and I was in all of these arts, and that soothed it until, like, after high school, it was just like, wow, this is never gonna happen again, until I found drag. And it's like, I was built for this. This is what this is for.
If someone wants to do drag right now, besides go to YouTube, what do you think from you? What do you think that they, where should they start?
I think just hit the ground running and look up places on Facebook, like, where people do drag. Like, just type in the search bar, just drag shows, local drag show, and you will find someone who knows a show that has either open spots where they're doing open talent shows. You'll find out about competition shows. And or somebody who's trying to sell you some hair, some costumes. You'll find something out there.
And so they just go to the club and just ask the owner? Like, should they ask?
9 times out of 10, when I'm looking to book shows, the biggest thing that I want to see from you is I want to see experience. And experience to me means it looks like you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You could get on the stage and look a hot mess, but you got your foot in the door and now everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
That part doesn't matter. So the look is the big thing. I think getting a good photo of yourself, like, mm-hmm. making sure the hair is right, the face is right, practice. Practice. It takes years before a girl finds a face. I haven't even necessarily found mine. I'm always experimenting with something. But definitely look the part before you try to act it.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
How often do you practice?
So that depends. If I don't have shows and it's been a minute, like, I will definitely just hit the brushes. But if I know that I have a show and I've got things that I need to be working on, it takes up my time. So, like, I'll be working on costumes. So, like, I'm always working on costuming. So practicing, it sometimes does take a backseat, like, rather than just sitting in the mirror, because you're just like, girl, you gotta go. You ain't got time to practice. Yeah. You gonna be on stage in a minute.
But beforehand, you practice, right? You have to practice.
Oh, very much so. Like, there are whole run-throughs. I remember sitting in front of my drag mother and her playing. We would say, like, what songs we're doing this week. Okay, perform it. And you would just go full out. Like, move the table back out of the way and you perform. Like, go for it right now. Or walking in those heels. Do you know how to walk in those heels? You don't. That's fine. Go ahead and do your household chores in them. Vacuum in them until they feel comfortable. Take out the trash in them. You'll look crazy, but do it.
Yeah. And when I watched, that's why, when I watched you, you knew all the words. You had the chord.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not everyone's like that. You practice. Like, you can see that you actually put in the work. So, if you want to get awards, like this, you need to practice. You can't just get out there and do... Get out there. You gotta practice. If you want them dollars.
There are people. Like, Like, I can dance, so it's not, like, anytime, like, I think there's probably, like, 1/8 count that, like, you'll typically, like, if you know me and you've been to a lot of my shows, you know, like, oh, she's throwing them arms. I know that one. But other than that, it's, like, a lot of the times it's just off the fly. Unless, like, there is an actual choreographed set that I really want to learn, or a song that I'm, like, really into, and I'm like, oh, I need to choreograph this, like, right now. But 9 times out of 10, like, if you have it, you have it. Like, dancing. I've just been dancing, like, forever. Like, so, dancing just comes natural. The face, that's practice. The look, that's all practice. But the performance aspect, that just comes from here. That's something that I just love to do.
And, like, as you already know this, I think you need to take this beyond Wichita, beyond Kansas.
Yes.
So, like, do you foresee yourself doing, like, or are you just okay with being in Kansas and doing shows? Or, like, what's your ultimate goal out of the drag? What do you want out of it?
Oh, so out of drag, I personally would love to have my own show. Like, own bar, like, own show, like, own club, where I choreograph the sets, and, like, with a team, and got backup dancers, and we work with a team of girls, and we've got costuming all thought out and everything planned. That's what I see for myself. The road there is a lot trickier because, of course, you need networking, connections, and you need funds, and you really just need the notoriety. Like, somebody who's just like, oh, I know she can do this, so let's give her that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so whether that's going to come from Drag Race, or that's going to come from national pageantry, or just moving to a big city and just trying to explode from there, I am not sure. Right now, I think drag in Wichita, I've been, for the last year, I was, like, on 2 casted shows, and that's always been lovely, but, like, I'm ready, for, like, for this next year to, like, take a whole fresh start and not have to do the same thing every week and, like, always have to perform, because when you can take a break, like, you can come up with bigger projects and you can take more time to actually hone the craft.
Yeah.
So I think that this next year I'm going to be looking for that new avenue. I do want to move. I know that, sure. I can't do it here forever.
And you make your own clothes. You do all of that for your shows, right?
Yeah, hair, makeup, costuming. If I got matching shoes, I've 9 times out of 10 made something to cover it up or stone the shoes to go with it. There are days like where I'll go to my daughter for hair, and she does phenomenal on that. Like, you look her up, that's Saray Ali on Instagram and Facebook. And then
I gotta clarify, so in drag you have daughters and
yes,
mothers.
Yes.
And this is not your daughter.
Not my biological daughter. I wouldn't give out her anything. I'm sorry.
So
but yes, my actual drag daughter. And my only one. My one and only. My pride and joy. but yes, that's her. And then I'll go to my drag mom to make my jewelry, and she does all, like, my pattern jewelry and stuff like that.
Do you sell your clothing?
I don't sell my clothing. I have before. It's not that I don't. Like, there are people who come and ask me for garments. My biggest thing is... I can make, like, something for you, but the biggest thing is, like, come to me and let's talk about it. Like,
do you foresee yourself, like, pushing that? Because we can plug you in right here, right now. Fashion designer, you need something done.
I think I'm going to be selfish for the next year.
Yeah.
I definitely need to, like you said, take it bigger. And when doing that, I can't really focus on everybody else. I got to focus on me for a little bit.
That's so true. That's so true with everything. Focus on yourself.
I'm learning that.
Yeah. Definitely got to do that. Let's see, you also, in the community of the drag world, Imani, do you feel like it's just, like, a different personality? Like, you get to just, like, experience, it's like, like, your alter ego type?
Yeah, I could say that, very much so. I think, like, I feel like, because I have personalities. Like, of course, because my birth name is Andre, and then my chosen name is Justice, and then my stage name is Imani. And Imani is the polished version of everything. Like, 9 times out of 10, if there's a long, drawn-out statement or text message or anything that's been publicized, Imani has gone over that with a fine tooth and comb, and it's just like, this is how I need to look, so this is how something needs to be said. And it's very perfect, proper. Justice is something that I'm learning to have fun with, and just, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time, and you can look a mess and it's fine, and go back and erase it later, or don't, because it doesn't matter. And then Andre was very cute and meek, and I don't want to do this, or I don't want to say this, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but if you piss me off, I'll go there. And so living with all three of them is just, you know, juggling different hats, but like in drag, like I'm definitely, I think, more executive. Like,
yeah.
This, I make the decisions, and this is how everything's gonna go.
Do you feel like you had to come out twice?
Yeah.
Or because you come out as bisexual, and then you're having to show the Imani side of you? Like, do you feel like that was two separate
decisions? Yeah, I feel like I'm consistently peeling back layers of myself and exposing them to the world, because I don't know everything about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So there is me coming out as bisexual to my mom, and then there is me, I'm gay and I'm doing this, and then there's also the whole, I'm non-binary, and sometimes I wear wigs, sometimes I don't, sometimes I'm in makeup, sometimes I have a beard, and just letting people actually like see that. And I don't know if that's always going to be the case. I don't know if there's more layers, but I think one of my favorite books is just like, we are like flowers, like we don't change, we just become more ourselves, we bloom, and that's it. And
yeah.
So I'm still learning to, I'm consistently coming out.
Yeah. With that, you said your pronouns are they, them. Now for me, and I think to a lot of people, that's very new.
Mm-hmm.
What? Was it new to you? Like, was this, like, you heard of it and it was like, okay, this is it, like...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's what it was for me. So my sibling, my younger sibling, actually, Kyrie, they go by they, them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have always been very headstrong, and this is my life, and this is what I'm going to do. And it just really inspired me, like, when I sat down and talked about it and they explained the whole non-binary thing. But then there's also the gender fluid part as well, where... if people do call me him or people do call me her, it doesn't matter. Like, all throughout the pandemic, because I had a mask on my face,
mm-hmm.
people called me she or her, like, even when we're standing face to face. And then when I'm on the phone with people, people call me she because my voice is a higher pitch. And people will apologize and say, oh, I'm sorry, like, it doesn't matter, because like, it genuinely does not bother me.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're being polite and addressing me is enough.
Now, that's not the case for everybody.
Right, yes.
So, but for your, what, can you explain more on, so you said non-binary, to people that aren't a part of this community, that they'd have to look that up in the dictionary?
Right.
What is that? Can you explain the non-binary in that situation?
Non-binary is like outside of typical gender binary terms. So you're not masculine, you're not feminine, you're not a boy or a girl, you're just them or they. And it's a way to address someone without putting a feminine or masculine connotation on it.
Yeah. There you go, so you didn't have to look it up yourself. So have you been around anyone else besides like your younger sibling that went by they, them, or?
I think I have a lot of friends who are they, them. There are a lot of entertainers who I work with who go by they, them, both
mm-hmm.
on and off the stage as well,
mm-hmm.
which even helped me practice it more so, because, like you said, it's not the case for everyone. So there are entertainers who, on stage, they want to be recognized as masculine and feminine, and then there are entertainers who just want to be themselves
mm-hmm.
on stage without any sexual orientation or any... label or anything. They just want their art to speak for themselves. And that's, I think, really what brought it home for me as well.
Yeah, that's good. do you feel like your family has been welcoming of that? Like, was it welcoming for your younger sibling, for them?
I think at first it was just very confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole, like, of course, like, understanding why am I calling you they or them when you're you? And that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sadness, I think, that came with that, too, with using the wrong pronouns, like, whether, and I mean, even my sibling and I, we had that conversation, like, where I would use the wrong pronouns, and we just had, like, it's a lot of awkward and uncomfortable conversations,
yeah.
But, like, if you're a family and you love somebody hard enough or strong enough, you can come through it. I remember talking with my grandma, like, when I told her that I preferred to be called Justice, and my sibling was, like, trying to ingrain that into her, and she started crying, and she's like, it's because, like, I'm having a funeral for that kid that you were, and now you're someone else, and I have to learn and respect that, which she does. Like, she's even changed my name on her phone to Justice, and that's who I am. But it was definitely a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, that's, you brought up a point of, like, the funeral, because that's what they call your dead name, right?
Yeah.
And in your situation and my situation of coming out is different. Like, they're literally having to kill off what they thought they knew.
Relearn everything.
Yeah, and relearn everything. But in my situation, it's not that they have to, like, kill it off, but it's just, like, relearning how to love me for who I am, in a sense. But it's still the same, but the whole, you're literally changing not your sexual identity, but your gender, in a sense. So it is, like, not once what they once knew. So that is interesting. And it's good that your family does, like, accept that, especially being a Black family. I see a lot of videos of people that just don't understand it. They don't understand it. They're just talking.
And they're very firm on that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand it, and I don't have to understand it, so you keep that over there.
Yeah, and I feel like when it comes to it, like you said earlier, they have, like, with the mother of your child, they have no choice to accept it or not because of who you are, and it's in their face every day. But what would you tell someone that is like that, that's firm on, I'm not going to say they, them, you're doing too much, or, like, the rhetoric that's been going around with that certain topic?
I think even with, it's Christmas time, perfect example, is, like, growing up, a lot of people, when they celebrate different traditions, my parents always told me, just because we don't celebrate that or don't believe in that does not mean we talk down on that, or we don't believe that. We just say that we have different beliefs and that's it. And so to somebody like that, it's just, it doesn't matter if you don't understand, and it doesn't matter if it's not something that you believe in, but if it's something that makes somebody else happy, why can't you just let that be? And why can't you accept that for what it is? And that's simply what it is. Like, doing, like, letting someone else be who they're telling you they are does nothing to you.
Right, yeah. 100% true. What would you tell someone that may be experiencing, like, they want to change their pronouns? What would you tell that person?
It's going to be uncomfortable at first, and you are not going to know where to start. And you're going to feel like you have to do everything at once and know everything at once, but you really don't. The first thing you have to do is just accept yourself for whatever it is that you want to be or whatever it is you feel like you are. Just accept yourself, and everything else will fall into place. And when I say accept yourself, I mean, if you feel like you are a trans woman, be that beautiful trans woman that you are and rock the dress or by the heels, and if you feel like the masculine trans man that you are, then you should do the exact opposite. And if you want to buzz your hair. And I don't necessarily know how to tell anyone to do anything that isn't me, But I know that with me, it just took a lot of, hey, it's okay. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what your mom's gonna think. It doesn't matter what your dad's gonna think. It doesn't even matter what your partner's gonna think. How do you feel when people call you they, them? And how do you feel if you went by this name instead of this name?
Yeah, that was great. That was great. I hope someone takes that and really understands that, because it isn't about anybody else. It literally is how you feel. And I feel like we in the LGBTQ community care about so much what other people think. And it's hard for us to just like accept ourselves, even just like saying we're bisexual or gay or lesbian, which in my opinion is like the simplest thing in a part of the community. Like, we still just think about everybody else and never ourselves first. And so that's really good advice, to like just think about yourself, no one else. I appreciate that. You said you're not religious, you never grew up religious?
I did grow up religious. I did grow up in the church.
Okay.
The Baptist.
Okay. You just said your mom, you gave the example, so I was like, if they don't believe in church.
No, like if they don't believe in like the same religion, like it's okay. We don't knock what they believe in, and we just believe in something different.
Do you think that your religion has had, do you feel like you have gotten back from religion since being a part of the LGBTQ community?
I feel like, I think there is something recently that kind of took me back about it, because my grandmother, she moved out of her house and she found a dashiki that she had bought me when I was getting baptized. And I remember going like through all of that and going to Bible study and being baptized and being in the choir and the Christmas plays, and I don't think I've ever felt any more ostracization than I ever did, like, being in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't go to churches now. I think I've tried to keep my daughter from churches specifically because of that. She's been to church before. Like, her mom and I have had, like, conversations, like, okay, this is okay that she go, and she's gone with friends before. But it's something that I've pulled back from because I've been burned by it before.
No, have you... So, do you have your own relationship with God, or is it just in general? Like, do you still believe in God? And...
Yeah, I believe that there is a higher being, higher power, be that may you call it God, goddess, the universe, but I definitely believe that something created the universe, and I definitely believe that I'm still here for a reason, and something keeps me going. My grandmother says it's her prayers, and she's always praying over me, and so it may be that. And it may just be I'm stubborn and I don't want to die, but I definitely believe that there's something out there.
Yeah.
But I don't have I don't like read my Bible. I don't go to like a religious organization, and I don't do or say certain things based on if I believe that's going to get me into heaven or not.
Mm-hmm.
I believe just being who I am is going to get me into heaven, because I'm not trying to do anything but be who I am.
Yeah. Does your family still try to get you to go to church and be a part of that, or?
My grandmother does not. She's the big source of like church, and she doesn't force anything, but she's always, I'm praying for you, or this person said something, or if I see, like I've got other family members and they're churchgoers, but I'm not. Maybe I'm just not readily available for them to try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just don't think I'd be interested, and they just, because of that, they don't ask. But I don't have anybody that's now trying to get me to go to church or pull me back in.
Yeah. And that was a question someone had asked about religion.
Right.
And I feel like being part of the community, I feel like that's a topic, especially being a person of color, who, like, the church is also, I grew up in the church and stuff like that, so I feel like it's a big part of our community,
right?
And getting that acceptance from the older generation, I don't know about you, but like, I've always wanted that, but realize you're never gonna get it, but from some people, they might do it in like your face or whatever, but behind closed doors, they're sitting there talking bad about you and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about like, just being a black man who identified as they them, like, what, even like I messed up right there, like a black person who identifies as they them living in this world that, and identifying in the queer community, like how do you navigate that? Like, I feel like there's so many barriers to that.
It's difficult. Like, I feel like I've got, like, my friends that I know that are safe, so, like, I'm always around these specific people, but other than that, I'm very cautious and timid about who I open up to. Now, not closing myself off and not hiding or pretending to be somebody else by any means, but definitely not, like, paying attention to anyone else that doesn't either run in my circles or doesn't have that gleam of queerness upon them. Like, other than, like, if you don't seem like a queer person or at least show interest in any queer activity or common activity that I'm into, there's just no, there's no chance that we're interacting.
So it's not that they, because it's not, oh, you're black, let's hang out. It's, oh, you're queer, let's hang out.
Very much so. I do have, like, a mixture between black and, like, non-black friends, so it's never been a whole, I specifically do hang out with my black friends, but don't get me wrong, like, when you interview, when you hang out with your black friends, it's different, just because they get you, especially when you hang out with your queer black friends. Like, that's just my favorite thing in the world.
I feel like
we've got our shows. There's one show on YouTube, I believe, it's called For the Boys, and we all, like, that was a big show for us, because, like, there's three of us, and so, like, we would watch that, and it was just, like, this is so nice, like, a story for us, by us.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah. It, like, it is different. You said it right to the T, like, if black and gay, a part of the community, it's just, like, a different feeling, just because we identified so much, like, there's so much that we can relate with, so I agree with you. Do you hang, so you said you do have a good mix of diverse friends?
Yes.
Do you feel like the white, we pretty much did say, like, it's just a different connection, but do you feel like the white people in the LGBT community still don't understand the barriers you face, even though they face a barrier?
Yes, and I feel myself consistently pointing it out.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a point where there were jokes that were made or things that were said where I would just try to, like, laugh along because I didn't know how to feel about it and I didn't know how to say something that wouldn't ruffle feathers. But now at this point, I'm just like, I don't get what you mean by that. Or just pointing out, well, you're going to get this specifically because you look like that and I look like this and I did not get that opportunity specifically because I look like this, and so they believe that I'm like this. And so, yeah, that's something that is big in the community, something that needs to be talked about a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's why, like, I didn't want anyone to feel, like, left out, but then at the same time, I didn't care about, like, this certain podcast because I want to hear people of color stories because, like you said, for one, I'm trying to have more friends, a part of the community. Because when I hang out, it's just the best time. Like, it's in those spaces are where fully you can be yourself, 100%. I feel like in some spaces, like in the black spaces, okay, I can be my blackness, but I can't be my all the way gayness. Like, I want to be. Like, expressing myself in those spaces, you don't have to hold back at all.
Exactly.
What is something that you would tell someone that is struggling with being their authentic self right now? Being a part of the LGBT community, knowing that they're a part of it, but just scared.
The thing that I'm realizing now, if you don't do it right now, you're gonna regret all of the time that you didn't do it. Because once you do it and you start having so much fun, you're just gonna sit there and be like, why didn't I do this sooner? I could have known so many more people. I could have made so many more connections, had so many more opportunities, so many more laughs, and a lot of love. A whole bunch of love. More love than I even thought possible. Do it right now and don't look back. That is the biggest advice that I could give because I wish that somebody would have told me that Just do it.
Yeah. Rip the band-aid off.
Honestly, the water's gonna be cold now and later.
That part, for sure. Yeah, it's not gonna get any easier. Like, you're gonna still say the same thing, whatever you receive after that. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Being a part of this, telling your story. I feel like there's gonna be multiple people that can relate. And yeah, is there any plugs you wanna give? Any shout outs you wanna give?
Shoot, I mean, if you wanna follow my friends, like I said, follow my drag daughter, Saray Ali, or Lestar Yamea on Instagram and Facebook, my drag mom, Sasha Mae Carmichael, or Terry S. Aki in New Orleans, and my drag sister, Fatality Cave Tour. If you are ever looking for a good show, hit them up, ask them where they're at, and you will surely be entertained, I'm sure.
Well, thank you again for coming on. You guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys for tuning in. As you know, please join us again next time. Family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice.
Thank you. That was a lot easier than I was expecting.